The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program is sponsored by Ron Geyer Roofing.
The Bible describes events that will mark the last days or end times. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Matthew 24:44 tells us, "Therefore you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him." Bible teacher Ron Geyer leads us through scripture that will help us to remain strong in the Lord. End Time Insights with Bible teacher Ron Geyer starts now.
Happy Sunday evening, everybody. Ron Geyer back with End Time Insights. I'm enjoying what I'm teaching. I am teaching on 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. And I will be starting off today with a verse from 1 John. But the scripture that we're dissecting, I didn't realize the depth of the warning within this verse until I really started studying it. I didn't realize all that it said about the seduction to the church, in the church. I didn't realize about the presence of Satan so strong in the church, not only in the saints in the pews, but especially in the pulpit. I mean, this stuff is eye-opening. It's a sermon that should be preached everywhere, reminded to the saints often. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul writing to Timothy, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." When you read the Phillips translation, he talks about God's Spirit specifically tells us that in the latter days there will be men who abandon the true faith and allow themselves to be spiritually seduced by teachings of the devil. Whew, that's some heavy-duty stuff. So we are going to continue to stay on that. We spoke last week. There were four verses I gave you: John 8:31, Colossians 1:23, Hebrews 3:6, and Hebrews 3:14, where the promises that God has for us and our salvation are predicated on us obeying and doing the will of God, staying in the Word of God, staying in faith, and keeping our faith until the very end. And it's very important that you study those verses one more time. John 8:31, Colossians 1:23, Hebrews 3:6, and Hebrews 3:14. I want to pick up on this here, 1 John 2:27, where we are being encouraged by John to follow the Holy Ghost. "But the anointing which you have received of him," the anointing you received of him, you received this of God. It came to you from Jesus. Hallelujah. "But the anointing which you have received of him," not by him, not from him, not through him, you have received the anointing of Jesus. Jesus had it, and you've got it too. "The anointing which you have received of him abides in you," lives in you, stays in you, remains in you, dwells in you. "And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him." Quite a mouthful. Once more, John is writing this in reference to the false doctrines and the false teaching which were trying to seduce the saints. The prior verse in that, 1 John 2:27, the verse right before that, verse 26, John says, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." So John, we saw Paul telling Timothy, warning Timothy about those that have thrown down their faith, walked away from their faith, abandoned the faith of the gospel. Why? Because they were seduced. Well, here, John confirms that the things that I'm writing to you, I'm telling you about the anointing that you received of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells them These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Let me give you the Ron version of this, okay? The mankind will seduce you. The Lord Jesus, the Word of God, the anointing upon the Lord Jesus removes the need for you to be taught by man. Now, don't take that wrong. Okay, I am a teacher. I think you need to listen to me. I do know I have an anointing to teach you the Word. I am not anointed to teach you my opinion. I am not anointed to teach you my understanding. I am anointed to teach you the Word of God. I am not a motivational speaker. I don't care if I inspire you or not. I don't care if I lift you up, if I encourage you, if I praise you till the cows come home. I don't care about that. I care about your soul, and the only thing that is going to protect your soul is the Word of God. So I will give you the Word of God. 1 John 2:27, the anointing which you have received of him, the anointing that Christ had, you had. It lives in you, and you don't need any man to contrary teach something that doesn't conform to the Word of God which Christ taught. That same anointing teaches you everything, and it is truth. You don't have to worry about the anointing that God has placed in you of Jesus Christ deceiving you. That will never deceive you because it is truth. That anointing teaches you of all things, and it is truth and is no lie. Jesus does not lie to you. He never would. He never will. He is not a liar. The liar are men who belong to their father, the devil. The anointing teaches you the truth. That truth will cause you to remain in him. And as John said, these things I'm writing to you concerning them that seduce you. He is addressing seduction in the church. He's saying, don't just hang out with man when it comes to learning about Jesus and God. Learn from the Holy Spirit. You have a built-in defense against the seduction. Use it. The Holy Spirit anointing within you for truth. But the Holy Spirit within you cannot help you without the truth. You must know your Bible. So many Christians have got the Holy Spirit in them at their new birth. He's the Spirit of adoption, right? No man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. And it's the Holy Spirit of adoption that causes us to become sons of the Most High God. But if we don't read the Bible, he doesn't have too much to do, because his job is to speak the truth, confirm the truth, convict with truth, correct with truth. All scripture, all truth, all word is given by inspiration from God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God would be made perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit, they go together. You must have the Word of God in you. As free will agents, God allows us to choose him. He will also allow us to walk away, though. It's only the Word of God that will hold you to the faith, that will hold you in the Word, that will keep you in the house of God, that will keep you in life, that will cause you to endure unto the end. Matthew 24:12-13, great verse, says a lot. This is Jesus, Matthew 24, remember, that's the chapter. It's very prophetic where the disciples ask Jesus about the temple. When will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming? And Jesus in Matthew 24 is telling them that. And so he says, at these end times, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I wish to really hit the second part of this verse, that he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. But I don't want to ignore the first part of the verse. I can't let it go without addressing it. My heart is tender towards the dangers that befall us. I know that I know that I know that so many preachers are not warning you. You know, we have swallowed the lie that you can't lose your salvation. And we have swallowed all the other lies that go with that. that I can sin as much as I want. God will forgive me. My spirit is saved. I'm going to heaven. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And yet the Bible is fraught throughout the entire New Testament with warning after warning after warning after warning after warning after warning. And these warnings wouldn't be there if your souls were not at risk. Saints, your souls are at risk. You are a free will agent. Freely, you became a born-again child of God. You accepted Christ. You joined the family of God. You did that of your own free will. Well, if you could never lose that, then you would no longer have a free will. Your free will doesn't end when you get saved. You have a free will just like you did, I want to serve the Lord God to become his son. Well, you also have the free will to walk away from that. God does not want puppets, okay? Your heart needs to be constantly on guard for the danger to your souls. Because the dangers are so subtle. They're not in your face. You know, you don't see the devil walking around with a red face and two horns. He's subtle. He's tricky. He's in your pulpits. And he looks and speaks smoothly. He's a good-looking guy in the pulpit. He's got nice Italian suits, Italian shoes, right? He speaks smooth and syrupy. And he'll even throw a little Bible in there, okay? But he's using it for his own purpose, manipulative purposes. So, because iniquity shall abound, love grows cold. The church is in danger just by the mere presence of sin. You understand that? Just hanging out in an environment where sin is. Us living in this environment of sin puts us at risk. Iniquity is lawlessness, and lawlessness is sin. So Jesus is essentially saying all of this sin, it's increasing in great measure, will be the cause of man's cold heart. Not only cold-heartedness towards each other, towards our wives, towards our children, towards our fellow man, but also cold-heartedness towards God. And this is where man gets in trouble. Mankind doesn't care what God demands. Man will decide to live by his own preferences, his own lust for pleasure. This attitude will permeate mankind on a worldwide scale. And yes, it's contagious. That's why God tells you and warns you all the time, Proverbs, James, Timothy, Corinthians, you can't be hanging out with the people of the world. They are dead. Death is contagious. Death is the natural end for mankind. You must have the spirit of life inside you in order to hold off death and receive the eternal life that you can have now. That will dictate your actions right up until the time that you trade in this earth body for a glorified body. And yes, sin is contagious. Unless the church is biblically prepared, we will be caught up in it. Because sin presents itself as freedom, never showing us the prison that's hidden behind it. The love of many will wax cold. God is love. The great increase in sin will cause many to grow cold towards God. Simply put, this is total, unhindered rebellion against God himself. And once more, Jesus teaches us the fullness of our salvation really doesn't manifest until the end. Where does it say that? But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Unless the church is biblically prepared, this stuff will take us by surprise. We are to remain in the Word of God, remain in the faith right up until the end. And that's when all the promises come true. That's when we get glorified bodies. That's when we will rule and reign with him on the earth during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Don't forget, we're living in a kingdom right now whose king isn't here. Our king is in heaven. We're operating in the earth as a kingdom without the presence of the king in the natural realm. We have the presence of the king in the spiritual realm, but that doesn't impact those who don't know him. We impact those who don't know him when we allow him to shine through in our lives. Only if we endure until the end do we achieve everything that God has for us. If we pass all the tests, if we pass the tests of hardship and suffering, of persecution and of tribulation, If we endure living in the midst of this wicked and perverse nation, the test for us, they are myriad, but they won't defeat us. That's what all these old-time writers are warning us about. But the future promises, oh, they're over the top, man. They don't compare to the testing, the trials, the persecutions, the suffering that we have to go through. Here, Jesus tells us that because of the increase of sin, our love for each other would suffer. It would grow cold. The better word for iniquity here is lawlessness. Selfless love will be replaced by self-love. Lawlessness isn't just the lack of obedience to the law. It's the acceptance of and the writing of laws that go against God's word. Lawlessness is an outright attempt to remove God from a culture. In this case, it's an outright attempt to remove God from our entire civilization. That's what Jesus was talking about. Tony Garland writes, this coldness of heart, coldness of love towards one another and towards God, this is not a continual trend throughout church history, but this is a very specific, pointed characteristic of the end. Remember, though, now, we're talking about departing from the faith. You know, there's talk here about the end, and the end is coming. Now, the end is not finite. For the saint of God, it's just the beginning, because we're going to be going from one realm, a natural carnal realm, into a spiritual realm, dwelling on the earth in the presence of our King, Jesus Christ, during the thousand-year millennial reign of the Lord. However, the others will be spending time in hell. These warnings, they're just one more evidence of the love of God. Remember, we're talking about departing from the faith in 1 Timothy 4. Let me read that one more time. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's what I've been speaking about the last 4 or 5 weeks. And I want to warn you. I think it's probably the greatest warning in the Bible. Your soul is at risk here. You need to be very careful who you put in charge of your soul, who you listen to. I used to, not pay any attention to this. Even as a Christian, I just lollygagged my way through Christianity, being happy, living happily, never aware of the dangers. And yet they will rise up. God didn't put you on a playground, saint of God. He put you on a battleground. And the fights are daily. They are before us all the time. So then, we're talking about departing from the faith, as in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. And this is an evidence, God putting all these warnings in the Bible, they're evidence that he loves us. God's love to us and for us is manifested in so many different ways, and yet we fail to grasp it. We don't understand that the judgments of God are because he loves us. He's trying to get us back on track because we normally view these things from our carnality. The judgment like on 9/11 or like on COVID. People died there, Ron. How can that be God? How can that be a judgment? Hey, it could have been worse, right? I don't know how many people we lost in COVID, maybe 1 million, maybe 2. I don't know. But it has the potential to be much, much worse. It's a warning from God. Change your behavior, mankind. Get back on track. 9/11, we were promoting homosexuality. We were murdering our babies at record rates. And God says, no, you cannot go on like this. The church was silent. And so we were also messing with Israel at that time. We were promoting a two-state solution. God hates that. You are opposite God. You fight with God when you talk about dividing the Holy Land. You don't understand holiness, folks. You don't understand what God has done with Israel. Those are all lessons for us. So if God in his sovereign will of grace allows, 2,000 or 3,000 people to be killed to teach us a lesson, God's got a control of that. He knows what's going on. I will not question the Lord. I don't even care if I was one of the people that died. Somebody said, well, God killed 2,000 or 3,000 innocent people. How do you know they were innocent? You don't know. Your standard's not God's standard. But either way, there are so many things that are worse than dying. I will gladly give my life if 5 or 10 or 20 people, maybe even 1, I don't know, would be rescued from hell by that act. We need to quit thinking of ourselves as the center of the universe. We're just visiting here. We don't get what we deserve because what we deserve is hell. God's grace is 9/11. God's grace is COVID. God's grace is calamity when God chose to kill 20,000 Jews who were sleeping with the temple prostitutes in Baal Peor when they fell for the deception of Balaam. Right? That was grace, saints. That was grace. And if God wants to use my life to teach a lesson of grace to somebody, so be it. It's his life anyway. My life is hid in Christ. I trust him. Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So, where am I? Losing my... Okay. Discipline, rebuke, chastisement, and yes, even correction, punishment, judgment, warnings. These are all signs of God's divine care for us. But when we reject God because we don't understand him, then that is the evidence that we have been seduced. And I'm telling you right now, I would dare say over half the Christians in America have been seduced. It's probably way higher than that. When only 9% of Christians have a biblical worldview, translation, only 9% of people who profess Christ see the world the same way as God sees it. When you view the world under the word of God, the way God sees it, your behavior will change. But when you view the world in alignment with the way the world views the world, you'll accept sin. You'll fall for homosexuality. You'll think nothing of murdering our children. You'll elect wrong people to public office. You'll follow wrong people, and your deception and seduction will just get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until, like Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy verse 1, chapter 4, you will depart from the faith. That's where all this is heading, and that's why we're doing this. We're trying to warn you. Understand, when we reject God, it's because we don't understand him on lots of levels. Then that is evidence that we have been seduced. I'm telling you, Church of God, you have been seduced. In 1 Timothy 4:1, his love comes from the Holy Spirit through Paul. Do you see that? God loves you. Therefore, he is going to use Paul to write something. He writes it to Timothy, right? He puts it in the word to make sure that we don't get snared. I'm reading this to you now. This should be protecting you. You should be having an understanding. Light should be going on. Wow, what am I being warned against? You're being warned against throwing your faith down. You're being warned against being seduced. You're being warned against being deceived. Did you know that Paul also tells Timothy there's demons in your pulpit? You are being seduced, and you may very well lose your faith, just like he wrote. With a great majority of our pastors that are caught in culture's grip, 37 to 41% of senior pastors have a biblical worldview. That means 60% of pastors, that means there's a very good chance that your pastor does not see the world the way God sees it. I don't want anybody teaching me spiritual stuff that doesn't see the world the way God does. My soul is at risk here, man. I'm not going to follow a clown like that. You'll be sitting under leadership of someone that doesn't think like Jesus. Those are not pastors. Those are devils, friend. You will be sitting under the leadership of someone that does not agree with the word of God. And you are placing your soul in his charge. That's just great. Here's a simple truth. If your pastor is deceived, guess what? You'll be deceived too. You see it every day. Just look around. Look at some of the stuff that's coming out of the pulpits, man. I'm going to end here. I got a minute left. I want to pray because this is so serious. I don't know. Yeah, I could jump up and down. But you need to go to a church that is preaching the word of God. Our ministry, I am not a pastor. I am a teacher. I like to think that I'm filling in the blanks from what your pastor is not telling you. I don't care the reason he's not telling you them. I don't care if he's think he's going to lose congregation, that his finances are going to go down if he starts telling you the hard truth. I will tell you the hard truth and let your heart decide what to do. Lord God, these are your children. These are your children. And Lord God, their salvation is real. Lord God, we are living in the last days, and the apostasy too is real. The apostasy is defined as children of God walking away from the truth that they once accepted. We're doing it on a grand scale, Father God. Even the world is caught in it, where things that have been known as true forever, male and female only, two sexes, that's being challenged, lies are being promoted, and people are being seduced by it. I pray, Father God, keep your children from seduction. I pray that you place in them a supernatural hunger for the Word of God, a desire for the Word of God, that they would grow thereby, Father God. Watch over them, Father God. Perfect that which concerns them. Please, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for End Time Insights with Ron Guyer. Listen again next Sunday night at 8 on 100.7 The Word, where faith comes by hearing. You can also listen to the podcast of this program by going to kkht.com. If you would like to contact Ron, email him at gospelguy@comcast.net.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.